I've learned something about them valleys.
You can go in there and bush hog them, clean them up, and you turn your back, and something else will be back growing again. And it's a never-ending thing. Between every mountaintop's a valley. And the Christian life is full of that. I don't think there comes a place. I'm 53 years old. And I wish I could tell you, younger men, that you'll find a place in your Christian life where the Goliaths disappear. And you can say, well, I can rest from here on in. But it's not that way. I'll never forget sitting by Dr. Harold Seidler in Greensboro, North Carolina. We were preaching together. And Dr. Seidler was in his mid-80s. And I'm talking about being pastor at Tabernacle Baptist Church for 50 years by then, at White Horse Road in Greenville, South Carolina. And he had myasthenia gravis. It's a muscle disease, and it affected his speech. So some people think Dr. Seidler, he preached like this right here. People thought that's how he intended to preach, but that's not how he intended to preach. If you listen to him in the early days, he didn't have that hesitancy. That's that muscle deterioration. But I was sitting by him, and I said, well, how's it going, Dr. Seidler? He said, I'm an old man. And, I wasn't going to agree. You never agree with anybody when they say they're an old man. And he said, I never thought after pastoring 50 years, I'd still be battling the congregation. And I thought I didn't hear him right. And I didn't know, but they were going through a church split. I hadn't been there 50 years. And you'd think somewhere down the line that it'd let up. You'd think somewhere in a marriage it'd get easier. You know? Think somewhere, even in raising children, did you know there's always going to be your children? That's my son-in-law just preached. He's married to my oldest daughter. I'm as concerned about, I don't mean this to put him in fear, but I mean I'm as concerned about my oldest daughter now as if she lived under my roof. And to some degree, maybe even more. Because she's out of my touch. I don't know where it lets up, but I know one day, praise God, we will lay these burdens down. We'll lay them, and it'll be different. But under them, we're going to have to put on the big boy pants. And I mean, pull them on up. Don't wear them like these rap singers wear them. Pull your big boy britches up, and let's do something for God. Turn to 2 Samuel. I'm looking at chapter 23, and there's 39 verses in this chapter. The first few verses deal with the last words of David. It's his last dying testimony, and it's interesting to me that this book, penned and written by the prophet, he includes not only David's last words, but then he includes the great men that surrounded him. Can I say to you, without any hesitancy, without any kind of second guessing or doubting, nobody serves and is effective alone. The New Testament makes it clear that we're laborers together with God. And I'm not talking about ecumenicalism. I'm not talking about finding a reason to looking for reasons for harmony. You know, I believe we ought to be very sober and vigilant. I think we ought to be very very aware of false doctrine. I mean, I believe in giving new converts. Y'all think, a lot of people think I'm hard to the point of hatefulness, but I mean, I believe in giving new converts room to grow. I don't expect new converts to adopt standards that has taken Christians 20 years of their life to implement. That's foolish. But to grow in grace, it takes a while to grow. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to quit preaching against sin or naming it or preaching against what they're doing. But I'm going to give room for growth. But when it comes to false doctrine, when Elijah called down fire at Mount Carmel, y'all remember that one? Y'all still, are we so biblically illiterate that we can't remember the fire fell? Hey, people screaming, the Lord, He is God. First thing He did when revival came was He beheaded the false prophets. That's pretty stout stuff. I mean, you know, that's pretty extreme. I mean, he wasn't under grace. Sometimes I wish I wasn't either. Man, our weapons aren't carnal. But they're spiritual, to pull down a stronghold. Sometimes I wish they were carnal. I'd like it. I pray for our sharpshooters that they hit every rag-headed Muslim that they can hit. Somebody say amen. You can't have it both ways now. I'm anti-Islam. Every single rug-riding, camel jockey, genie in a bottle, Muslim, I'm anti. I believe that the large percentage of them turned over to a reprobate mind. Like Obama, like Michelle. I believe Michelle Obama's turned over to a reprobate mind. Anybody who don't believe in McDonald's French fries, I doubt their salvation. She says, I want to eat apples. I ain't eating apples. A potato's as much an agricultural product. Somebody help me as an apple is. Somebody say amen. And I'm eating them, praise God. I'm drinking sweet tea as long as they make it at McDonald's. And I'm anti-Obama and everything he's got to stand for. And if Barack Hussein Obama is not a Muslim name, I'm a Cherokee Indian. It was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar before that was Alcindor. But when he became Muslim, he took on that name. That's a cultural practice. When you become Muslim, you take on Muslim names. It was Cassius Clay. But when he became a Muslim to be a draft dodger like Clinton, guess what he became? He became Muhammad Ali. I never knew what a Muslim was. I grew up in Georgia. I never heard of the Quran, Islam, or a Muslim till Muhammad Ali. Neither did y'all. Y'all didn't know what one was either. I don't think many of our forefathers knew what Islam was. I know they didn't know what Buddhism was. Our nation was founded on the King James Bible. The truth of the King James. Amen. It wasn't a Tyndale Bible. I don't care what they say. They had a 1611 under their arm when they got here. Amen. That's what we've been promoting. Hallelujah. Y'all can say what you want to. Hey, they got some 1611s over here. Some 1611s with the double E's. And I don't have a one problem with that. Is everybody okay? I can read that. But the revised don't hurt me a bit. Is everybody all right? Now, just to check y'all out, now we're in a mess. We're eyeball deep in a mess. It ain't never been this bad in my lifetime. It's never been this bad in my lifetime. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, you got a NFL player who whoops his boy, disciplines his boy, and gets put on suspension. I think we ought to give him a trophy for whooping his boy. And then I think we ought to try every one of those other boys for treason and slide them up with a firing squad. Anybody who won't salute this flag is a traitor. Anybody who won't pledge allegiance to this nation ought to be tried for treason and electrocuted or hung from a high tree with a short rope. You're not free to destroy this nation. There's been too much investment in this nation founded on God's Word for you to do what you want to. That ain't what freedom's about. I have no respect for that. I mean, I love football. Listen, I think soccer's an international sport. It's the one world government sport. It's all the communists love it. Look at me. Everybody okay? I'm an NCAA. I'm going to listen to UT today on the radio on the way down, and I hope they win. Hallelujah. But, y'all stay with me. But we're in a mess. I mean, y'all are lying to yourself if you think this world's any better. It's in a mess. And these young people worship that guy started that thing, that San Francisco quarterback that don't even start. That's how he's so great, he don't even start. Somebody say, help me now. What's his name? See, they know his name. Quick. Everybody okay? I can't stand it. And we've promoted that stuff. And they got their rights. They don't have a right to live in this nation and not pledge allegiance. You can't trust. I'd say put a CIA agent on every one of them. You can't trust anybody who won't pledge his flag. Y'all still here? And see, some of y'all don't like it. Some of y'all are, even in this little bitty crowd, I got people bucking me. This is crazy. We're a minority. We're a subculture anyway. And then within our subculture, we got people who don't like what I'm saying. I got preachers who won't even have me in there. I'm supposed to be fundamental, but I'm too harsh. What they're scared, I'm going to say something about a Democrat in their church. They have more allegiance to that Democrat's pocketbook in their church than they do the position of Scripture. They're more allegiant to a Democrat's tithe check than they are a preacher who's going to preach truth. I'd rather work five jobs, and I do. That sorghum you eat, and I made it. I ain't charging nothing, but I will next time you eat some of it. Hey, look at listen, I've never seen such a society. And our circle of fundamentalism has never been as watered down and anemic. The stuff I say and preach in the pulpit that everybody calls shock and awe, that was norm. That was the norm. Go look at them pictures on this wall, this General Baptist Association. Those two pictures are older. You'll see the word presbytery. That doesn't mean that was a Presbyterian church. That was the Presbyterian church. That was the presbytery. These were the leaders of this General Baptist Association. Look at that ancient picture in the 1922, and look at the digression. You can see the change of this facility. There were no trees here. Just look at it. And now then look at the pictures. You can't even tell if any women's got on clothes. Where they're sitting in a chair, all you see is a top and skin. If somebody didn't know any better, they'd say, them women ain't got nothing on from their waist down. Just go look at the pictures. This is a regular Baptist. They ain't regular Baptists. These are General Baptists. Regular Baptists want to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. They're in Kentucky, where you come from. Look at the digression. This thing ain't getting no better, Hoss. Just look at it. The moral decay, those pictures, without words, without a documentation, without a documentary, without some kind of, just look at the 1922 picture. Don't say it ain't the camp because they got the tent set up right beside the church. It's at the same union. It's the same property. Those holy people met, those separated people met, with a goal to carry on what they were and what they are, and look what we are now. And you can't blame a rebellious housewife. You can't blame a back-talking teenage daughter. And you really can't blame a slackered husband in the church alone. You can blame a pulpit, a spineless preacher who wants to be accepted, who wants to be politically correct, who has to have the approval of everybody, who has to be liked. You're going to do some things if you're the right kind of man that not everybody's going to like. You're going to hear, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. Just about every Sunday, every service I preach out of town, it's inevitable people walk out on me. I mean, just about, look at him, he's walking out now. Bye. And one coming in. Tag team. I hear that both coming in. Man, just about every service I preach, somebody's leaving. I'm talking about families that grab their family, get up and leave. I mean, people don't leave my church and say, you just don't preach hard enough. And we're leaving to find somewhere where we can get preached to. I've never had anybody leave and say, man, you just don't preach doctrinal truths. You don't preach it clear enough. Every time they leave, they go to something more liberal. They never leave our church and go to something more conservative. I've never had anybody leave our church and go join the Amish. By the way, that's a cult. Don't you get enamored with a bunch of Mennonites. You wind up acting like them. And you look at that, ain't no Bible for none of that. That's a bunch of weirdos. I don't care what you say. Bunch of look like John Lennon to me with them little wire glasses. I'm going, all we are saying is give peace a chance. That's all I can think when I see the little bowl haircut. I know that's ticking you off. I didn't ask you what you thought. Little old bowl haircuts, their hair's too stinking long. They need to take baths. There's nothing, Dean. There's nothing glamorous or nothing. There should be no attraction to that, thus. I don't understand. We get all enamored with that stuff. We won't try to. I read a book on how to raise children by Amish. Well, you got to do that. You got a Bible. They're talking all that German talk. They're making fun of you when you're around them. I trade mules with them. I've learned some of their terms. Oh, they're making fun of the Englishman. I'm telling you, I tell them, shut your mouth, boss. I'll never buy another mule from you. But they start backing up. Then they'll cuss and watch television if they think you ain't gonna spend money with them. Is everybody okay? They'll let you take a picture of them and the whole thing. Sinner sold to hell. Are y'all listening to me? Over a dollar bill. Okay, well, what's the problem? We ain't got no men. We have lost a generation of manhood. I don't know where it went. My mama was scared of my daddy. Boy, it's getting quiet. And my mama, I didn't know my mama real good. But I remember my papa, I didn't understand. My papa mumbled, my papa Crawford, but he had a chew of tobacco all the time in his mouth, and so you could understand what he was saying. But she did. If my papa would say jump, I believe my granny would say how high and where you want me to land. I never heard my mother say, well, I got my rights. This stuff's deteriorated because we've lost our manhood. The feminization of fundamentalism is what I'd like to preach on for about 2 hours. But I'm not going to. I just want to give you some common elements, some truths, that if we're going to be the kind of men that we're going to have to be in this generation, I couldn't begin to expound all the truth. 39 verses and 37 men mentioned that enabled David to do great things. The verse 8 says, these be the names of the what kind of men? Look, everybody say that again. What kind of men were they? Now, this is Holy Ghost inspired. This is dictated by the Holy Ghost. I believe mechanical dictation. Y'all can believe what y'all want to. You can be wrong if you want to. I believe that God, the Holy Ghost, holy men of God spake as they were moved. I believe that everything down there is exactly how the Holy Ghost wanted it. And so the Holy Ghost writes down here, he says right here, said, mighty men. Mighty men. And let me say, when the God of the Bible designates a title, we used to give nicknames all the time. Y'all don't have to like Trump. You know, I like Trump. I don't agree with Trump on everything. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't agree with Trump on everything. I don't like it. He's got casinos. Y'all understand that? I don't believe he's saved. He ain't no more saved than a jaybird saved. Y'all understand? But I'm voting for him. Y'all can do what you want to. I ain't voting for Hillary. And I ain't going to be like these idiots. I ain't voting for nobody. That's how we got the half-white man. Because everybody ain't going to vote. I ain't going to vote. I hear that going on Facebook. It makes me so mad. You just going to give it away then, like we did last time? Okay, you don't have to agree with me. You got a right to your opinion. But I got mine. And I'm voting for Trump. Just thought I'd throw that in. I got a... back at you. I never said he was a Christian. I'm not voting for a prayer. I'm not voting for a pastor. He don't have to be the husband of one wife. I'm voting for a leader. Somebody's got a backbone. General Patton, when they went in that Battle of the Bulge, cold weather, bad weather came in and stuff. They couldn't move those tanks. You ought to read this. I got a book on leadership. General George Patton, he cussed like a sailor. Boys, I'm not endorsing this. But he said, he told his subordinate leader, he said, go get me some blankety blank preachers. That was his words. I'm not endorsing this. He said, bring them up here, said, that can get a hold of God. And said, pray this bad weather out. He had enough awareness that he knew he couldn't do it. He said, get me some, and he used bad words to describe the preachers. They can get a hold of God and pray this bad weather out. And they got all the lay preachers, old mountain preachers, and all the preachers they could find that were ordained men that was in the ranks of, and got them up on the front and prayed till that weather broke. And he went to one of them, one of the clergy, one of the chaplain. Went to one of the chaplains and said, write me down something to tell the Lord thank you. And had that chaplain write him. Now you know God didn't even hear his prayer. He's lost. But that chaplain said he wrote him a prayer and said he walked down in the woods somewhere and read that prayer to the Lord. He's probably frying in hell. But I tell you what he was, he's a leader. I said George Patton, somebody better say amen, or I'll start talking about Robert E. Lee. I said George Patton, I said he's a leader. We need some of them now. Got women running the Air Force and everything else, that's unreal. Everybody okay? Leadership. Mighty men. If the Bible designates a title, then the characteristics and the qualifications for that title, I guarantee you those men met. How many believe that? Say amen. You think the Holy Ghost is going to call us? I said we had nicknames. We had one old boy, we called him Stump growing up. He's about that tall. He reminded me of a John Deere 40-20. I mean, about 40 in the waist, 20 inches high. Somebody help me. Old Stump. That's what we called him, Stump. I mean, he just looked like a stump. We designate, that's how I got on Trump, all them nicknames. By the way, she is Crooked Hillary. And old line Ted Cruz finally threw in with him. Somebody say amen. That's y'all's man, you know, the oneness, his daddy was a oneness preacher. He believes in a theocracy. Somebody help me. I'm spooked about that. Help me now. Somebody amen. Woo! Just thought I'd check y'all out. Okay. Where was I? Somebody help me where I was. Names, titles. Brother Mike, it'll be okay. Y'all invited me. You know, we're not even taping this, so it's fine. You're not going to be incriminated. I'm on something. Titles. Right? Am I on titles? Where am I? Troy, I'm on titles, ain't I? You listening? What am I on? Title. So, designated titles. Mighty men, they're given a title. They must have been doing something. There's something that, about their makeup that stood out. Mighty. They wasn't, you know, G.I. Joe. They wasn't old Gomer Pyle. You know, he was married to Rock Hudson. Wasn't that a beautiful union? Shazam. I mean, Sergeant Carter, somebody, I mean, can you believe Gomer Pyle and Rock Hudson were mates? Man, that's sickening. I mean, this wasn't Barney Fife. Y'all heard that one on Fife, didn't you? There once was a deputy named Fife. He carried a gun and a knife. The gun was all dusty and the knife was all rusty because he never caught a crook in his life, you know. I mean, old Barney Fife. I mean, it wasn't Barney Fife. These were mighty men. These were Rambos. I mean, these were the real deal. Now, what's in a Barney? I could read about each one and their specific, their individual qualities. And they had them. Man, one of them goes down in a pit on a snowy day. Whoops, a lion-like man of Moab. a lion-like man. He must have been like on the WWE or something, you know. I mean, on steroids. I mean, this is a lion-like man of Moab. He takes on two goodly Egyptians. They said that word goodly means a man in the neighborhood of 300 pounds. You're looking at a goodly Tennessean, you know. A goodly Egyptian. And he does all this, whips a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I mean, this is abnormal. This is not the normal of those soldiers that assisted David. One of them whips 300 men with a spear. Another whips 800 men by himself. I mean, you look what three of these men went behind enemy territory because David was in the cave of Adullam. It's nasty old muddy water. And David just said, man, I wish I had a drink from Bethlehem's well. And the three overheard him say it. And three of them said, look here, boys. Let's run up there and go get it. They didn't vote on it. They didn't call the finance committee together to see if they could afford it. They just said the preacher wants a glass of water. The anointed one wants a glass of water from the Bethlehem's well. We'll be back. And the Bible said that the Philistines were encamped around Bethlehem's well. And them three boys went in there behind enemy lines, draws a glass full of water, runs it back, and gives it to David. I mean, these dudes, you're talking about, this is Navy SEALs. They go get it and they come back. The people don't even know they're there. And then then David, type of the Lord, then David pours that water out as a drink offering. Says, I can't drink this. These men, and they're going to give it to the Lord. I can see people pitching a fit in my church. I can't believe we give that offering. They're going to spend it like that. If you're going to give it, keep your mouth shut. Tell your wife to keep her mouth shut. If you're going to give it, tell your wife to keep her mouth shut. If you're going to give it, tell your wife to keep her mouth shut. If you're going to give it, tell your wife to keep her mouth shut. She's supposed to keep silent anyway when it comes to business meetings and interpreting tongues, other languages. That's preaching time. Okay, now then, here we're going to get to the lesson. We done had the preaching. Here's the lesson. What will it take for us to elevate our lives to be that? What's it going to take for us to be a mighty man? Now, these are common attributes. Some of us may specialize in other things. God's called me to preach. He didn't call every one of us to preach in this room. But there's some things, if we're going to be mighty men, that are common. Number one, if you study this, I believe we'd all be in agreement, that these men exceeded the status quo. Most Christians, men that I pastor, most men that I pastor, are marking time. They only do enough to meet the qualifications of just to be set. Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tithe, so I'm going to make sure if I made $160 on this certain deal, what am I going to give? 16. They wouldn't think about giving a 20, man. That's $4 over. They wouldn't round it up. They're going to make sure they get the calculator out. It's all the Lord's anyway. All he wants is 10%. They're going to get the calculator out. They're the ones that call me, the normal crowd calls me. Do you tithe on gifts? Do you tithe on income tax checks? Do you? I get it all the time. You know what that crap is? That's the crap, honestly. They don't want to go any further than what's expected. And that's just one example of that. Yeah, y'all are dead in here. Everybody wants to go on out, or is everybody okay? Brother Mark, you want to pick it up where I'm at, and maybe they'll get a little more enthusiasm? Man, you have to rip your spleen off and swing it on a string to get y'all to listen, or what? Somebody give me a knife. I'm cutting myself. Okay, can you hear me now? Job yourself in the eye with a rusty nail. Everybody, yeah, preaching. Okay. I mean, most people just do enough. Do enough. I mean, honestly, you know, I pray the Lord's Prayer. And what I'll pray, I add to the Lord's Prayer sometime when I get to spots. Our Father. I'll say, man, I'm so glad you're my Father. You know, which art in heaven. I'll say, Lord, thank you that you're in heaven. I'm going there one day. I've got a place beyond the grave. Hallowed be thy name. I say, you're a holy God. You're a thrice holy God. Sometimes that prayer gets lengthy. But most of the time, our prayer life is very limited. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. Blessed our body. Blessed hands have prepared it now, Lord. And give us a good day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Don't let Hillary become the president. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're not praying it, you ought to be praying it. Don't say, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. You have not, because why don't you start praying something? It's too late now. Pray it. You know, something bad, she could trip. Somebody help me. Listen, friend. Hey, most Christian men that I meet are satisfied where they are. They're satisfied. They're satisfied with their spirituality, their level of spirituality. They're satisfied with their level of Bible knowledge. Well, you know what? When we get to heaven, we'll have all the answers. When we get to heaven, we won't need the answers, jackleg. That's stupid mentality. We need the answers now. I just ain't going to worry about till I get to him when they're playing. I was like, man, why don't you join Franklin Road across town, man? I'm sick. We need some men that have a hunger. I want to know more. We sing a page number 6 in our book, I Want to Know More. And that's not just something we say. We ought to develop a hunger. Hey, y'all see that? But most of you are sad. I'm not. I am preaching down to you because it's sad. We've reached a place. You're here, and the other brethren aren't here from your church. Well, look where I came. Look where we could go to. You know, there's so much more that we could accomplish. We've become the mighty men that make an impact on a generation. That get there, and out of all the people that served with David. Man, he had armies. 39 verses dedicated to 37 men. Only 37 of them got their name on this list. Now, I don't know that I'm ever going to be on the SEAL team of our Savior. I don't know if I'm ever going to make Recon Ranger or Green Beret. But I would much rather be on that. Don't get mad at me. As be in the mess hall. Peeling potatoes. But I got members of my church, they like that potato peeling. At least there ain't no shooting out here. You know. It's all peaceful in here. They like that non-conflict. They don't like that conflict. They don't like that confrontation. But I'm telling you, there's reward with that service. And so, exceeding the status quo. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever your hand finds to do, if it's youth ministry, if it's a Sunday school class, I mean, how do you study for your Sunday school class? 5 minutes for church? I've got Sunday school teachers. I've pounded in them, pounded in them, pounded in them, pounded in them, and they'll still wait till Saturday night to study their lesson. And we've got a curriculum that's got certain things that you do, elements to it that you implement. They still won't do it. I beg them to do it. We pay money for the curriculum. We got a timeline. We got certain things that would help these children's minds see things. We're trying to build this generation. We're talking about that my daddy could preach it. I had Sunday school teachers that knew this Bible, that they conveyed these truths that I've subconsciously learned. I preached stuff, Brother Andrew, that you didn't get as a boy, that I just subconsciously got in a Sunday school that pop up on my screen that I didn't have to work for. I just sat in Sunday school, and it was like endless, like megabytes back here. And when I need it, it pops up, and I don't even ask for it. It was there because I was in the setting. Lost when I learned a lot of it. Lost when I learned most of it. The natural man didn't receive it, but I retained it. Factual truths. Then it became applicable when I got saved. You see? It's tools I don't know how to use. You know how to use. But I got them. One day I got a toolbox full of stuff I don't know how to use. But if somebody show me, one day I could use it. Some tools I don't want to know how to use. Like that, you know, you got to have. If you're gonna be a cowboy, you got to have a degree, a PhD. You got to learn how to lose post, old digger. Somebody say amen. I don't want, that's a tool I don't want to learn. Help me down. Y'all, that's supposed to be funny. Is any of this making any applicable thought? Is it, sir? Why can't we hunger to go further? Mighty men do. I've been preaching. Paul's known me since he's a teenager. I've been preaching, traveling. But Paul, I mean, I've heard the best. I've been around the best. But I'm pleased to some degree with what the Lord's given my mind, but I'm not satisfied. I get up before my family gets up. I get up before the racket starts in the house. I got a Bible on my cell phone. I got a Bible by my chair. Tracy will text me my Sunday school literature on my phone. I'll look at that over and over and over. I'll read commentaries by men. Half of them I throw out what I read before I get started. They say mine's better than theirs, you know. But the truth is, man, we have reached a place in this age of Christianity, it's Laodicea. We have need of nothing. Man, we're blind and think we can see. We're naked and think we're clothed. Just look at the decay on the pictures. That's Baptist church people. Sure, they're not just like we are. But they're Baptist church people, man. Them Baptist people back here. Baptist dollars paid for this campground. Saved people. Right back yonder. Look, and here we are. Why? Men. Men. We won't go any. We don't want to go any further. We're satisfied. Mighty men exceed the status quo. Number two, jot this down. Mighty men expect the supernatural. We've gotten so hyper-dispensational now, with all due respect, with much due respect to Peter Ruckman. I have disrespect in some areas, but high respect in other areas. High respect in other areas, disrespect in other areas. High respect in other areas. You can get so divided in time that man, you throw away the power of God. Did you know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday? That's antediluvian age. That's antediluvian. That's before the flood. He was the same. That's patriarchal age. He was the same. He was the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. You cannot bind the power of God. But I watch our brethren. I mean, they're so. I'll never forget. I heard Brother Mays tell this story, and I've lived it out personally, but I like Brother Mays' story as good as mine, so I tell it. He's preaching a revival. And one night, first night of the revival, Brother Mays is preaching. This young boy about your size came up to him and said, after he had preached on, and that night he preached on Matthew 18:19. And again, I say unto you, Brother Mays preached like this. He'd say, Mister, listen, I'm preaching tonight on agreeing with God. He said, Matthew 18:19. And again, I say unto you, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father. Boy, he preached on agreeing. And he gave illustrations where he prayed with somebody and it happened. Well, this little boy came to him at service. He said, Brother Mays, you believe what you preach? He said, son, Brother Mays believes every word of it, mister. He said, well, would you pray my daddy will come back home? And he said, I sure will, young man. And the pastor came up to him and said, Brother Mays, I want to tell you, said, their daddy gets on these drunks. And said, he goes away. And said, this time, he's been gone for over a month, and they've had no contact with him. And, I mean, it's pitiful. And you know, I just wanted to tell you, you know, that we've all been praying, and daddy ain't come back home, and we don't even know if he's alive. Every night of that meeting, man, he'd preach, and Brother Mason would see that little boy, and at the end of the service, he'd just avoid him. You know. And that little boy would wait. He'd shake hands. The brother may be signing Bibles. And that little boy would be sitting over there, and he'd catch me at the corner of his eye. He'd just turn and say, "Ma'am, can I help you? Ma'am, can I help you, sir?" And hoping that boy would go on home. That little boy and his mom would be standing in the far back corner with the other kids waiting in the corner with tears in their eyes. And that little boy would walk up and say, "Brother Mays, are you still agreeing?" Brother Mays said, "I sure am, son." He said, "About Thursday night, man, Daddy ain't come. He's praying he's going to come in at revival. Get saved in that revival." Brother Mays, been Thursday night, he's starting to pray. He said, "I begin to see, well, how can I explain that this verse was for some other dispensation?" He said, "I was going to tell him, son, this passage is for the Jews." He said, "I was going to tell him it's not for our times." But he said, "I'd already preached the message. And I believed the message," he said, "but I was doubting God." He said, "Friday night of the revival last night," he said, "I was praying, God, maybe let us extend the meeting. But the pastor had already said we're going to end the meeting on Friday night." It's Friday night. He said, "I preached the message." Said, "No." Said, after the service, that little boy came to him and said, "Brother Mays, are you still praying?" Brother Mays said, "I had tears in my eyes." He said, "I just turned my back." And he said, I went off the platform, went out the side door, got in my car." And he said, "I went to my room." He said, "I got to my room and said, I was in there crying. Oh, God, that boy's heart's broken." And said, at about 10, 15 minutes after that, the phone rang in his room. And he picked up the phone, and it was the preacher. His preacher on the other line, he said he could hear in the background, "Glory to God! And shouts and praising God and people crying." Said he could hear in the background. And Brother Bay said, "What is going on, brother?" He said, "I want to tell you," said the preacher. All of a sudden the preacher said, "Whoa!" And he got the phone. He said, "I want to tell you." He said, "When you left," said, "it was not 5 minutes after." Said, "We were standing, and I was shaking the hand of that precious mother." And said, "About that time, we saw a man walking up the driveway of the church, his shirt tail hanging out." Said he came walking up the driveway. Said he walked up the front porch, and that little boy said, "There's Daddy." And Daddy walked up on the steps of the porch. He went right past, didn't hug Mama, didn't hug the children, went right past, right down the center aisle of that little country church, and fell on the altar. And said, "We just so happened had some deacons that were still here." And said, "The deacons came in." They was old Mountain Church. They prayed them in, you know. And they got to praying him in. And said, while he was getting prayed in, said, "Mama and them's on the other side." And said, "Praise God, Brother Mays." He said, "Revival's broke out." Said, "Daddy's home." Said, "Daddy's got saved." Man said, "Brother Mays," said, "I dropped the phone." And said, "Whoo!" Praise God. And said, the nurse, the clerk down at the front office called, said, "What's wrong in that room in there?" Right. You say, "What's going on?" I tell you what's going on. Hey, it still works. But we've gotten so, so distant from the supernatural. People get saved anymore, Brother Marcus. Now, you did trust the Lord, didn't you? We've got to give them cue cards. Now, son, did you trust the Lord? Say yes. Are you trusting Jesus to get you to heaven? Say yes. Now, you do want to get baptized, don't you? Yes. They that glad received them were baptized. People that really get saved, you don't have to ask them to get baptized. They'll ask you to get baptized. See, people get born again down all this supernatural. The night I got saved, it was supernatural. It wasn't no signing no card, popping gums, telling Pollock jokes. It was a supernatural thing. We've lost that. Y'all know we've lost it. Everybody goes sign will go in a little room somewhere in a corner. Hide. Every head out, every eye closed. Sneak down here and see if you can get saved. Nobody won't see you. Y'all know I'm telling right. Sneak back. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I've lost y'all. Everybody's sleeping. But I feel pretty good about it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, let me hold one leg up. Y'all look at my leg. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's something about vocalizing being saved. We've lost it. Amen. Supernatural. No man did what these men did without God's help. You don't whoop 300 Egyptian men at one time. You don't take on 800. Dino took on 800 Philistines. Come on, dude. At one time. I could whoop most women in our church. I got a few women, you know, I doubt about. But I couldn't whoop 800 women at one time. Somebody help me. I could take on 8 or 10 of them. 4 or 5 pretty good-sized men. But you know, unless it's a Mexican with a cue ball and a sock, somebody say amen. Y'all heard about that old fella, that guy was driving that sports car and the old truck driver was in that big old Peterbilt. And he was driving that sports car just hit in front of him, just on downshift. They got man, and all of a sudden, he'd get back on, in the heels too, man. He'd, get back up, man. And that old guy in that sports car, and just put on the brake, and just stop in front of him. Man, finally, that truck driver hung around and said, meet me up here. That old guy in that sports car jumped out, run up to that window. He said, karate from Japan. That old truck driver reached out and said, crowbar from the hardware store. Dr. Fu had a... Troy, that's funny and you know it. Hey. These younger generation, they can't even relate to good stuff. Expecting the supernatural. When was the last time, honestly, you even asked God for something that man can't do? Most stuff we ask for is something a banker could do, a rich uncle could do, the right kind of credit score could do. Why don't you ask for something that a credit score ain't got nothing to do with? Hey, man, I'm through because I got them sleeping, snoring, everything. I got them dreaming. I dreamed the other day I got saved. I was at the parking lot of Walmart, and my wife and Tanil went there and buy jars put sorghum in. And I was sitting outside, they sang the last verse of Just As I Am. And I got told Andrew, I said, I just got saved. He said, no, for real? I said, yeah, my dream, I just got saved. I prayed the sinner's prayer, man. I told, and it's good, too. I said, Lord, man, if I die in hell, I'm going to look out of hell and say you wouldn't save me. It's the best sinner's prayer I've heard anybody pray. Okay, expect the supernatural. Exceed the status quo. And then mighty men, I'm through. Mighty men have this common trait. They experience success. Mighty men don't talk about what they wish they had done. They get to talk about what they're glad they got to do. I don't want to end my Christian life with a lot of I wished I had. When we can end it with I'm glad I did. Some of you right now, you know, got some God-given goals. You got some giants in your valley. You got some giants in your valley. You can run and go hide. You can duck around like the rest of them. Or you can defeat the giant and put a scalp on your belt. I'll never forget that story. He takes that. But the Bible said that sword of Gath, he needed it later on. And he got over yonder, and he said, I need a sword, man. I'm over here in this cave. I need a sword. And they said, well, the only one we got over here is that sword of Goliath. It's in a museum over here. He said, go get it. It's a good one. He said, it's a good one. Can I tell y'all right now that as we serve the Lord, we can expect some successes. Because we're not fighting for victory. The difference is we're fighting from victory. Victory was won at Calvary 2,000 years ago. A lot of you, well, I'm trying to get victory. Man, we've already got victory. We're fighting from victory. The devil's a defeated foe. And we need to go ahead and claim the promises of God and expect I mean the supernatural, but experience some success. I mean, we're talking about confidence that Brother Andrew preached on, Brother Mark preached about confidence. You know, you get confidence in previous entanglements. You get confidence when you've done something. Not pride. Pride can for destruction. There's a difference between confidence and pride. But when you've seen, I'll never forget first time about my daddy. We didn't swim publicly, you know. We were separated people, but we'd go to the pond sometimes. And there's an old dock out there at the lake. And my daddy'd get in the water. And I was scared of the water as a little child. And he'd say, "Jump," to me. Man, that's scary. I can vividly see this in my mind. I'm standing up there on that dock. I get right to the edge, man. And Daddy'd say, "I'll get you. I'll catch you. Jump." And I said, "Well, get a little closer." And he'd get a little, I said, "Well, put your hands out a little closer." And he'd almost touch me. I'd fall. I fell over into his arms. And he caught me and he put me down that water and I'd feel that water. He put me back on that dock. And then he'd step back a little further. He'd say, "Now jump." "Now, Daddy, come up a little bit closer." But after about two or three times, he'd get way out there, and I'd take off running and leave that dock in midair. I mean, hit the water and skip like a rock. Pop three times and land in his arms. You know what happened? He proved himself to me that first time. You know what will help you have some victory? Man, trust him in some situations and see it. Say, instead of stopping midway to try to fix it yourself, see it through. And the next one will be easier. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you take these thoughts today. Every one of us have a giant in our valley. And I pray, God, that if we don't have it now, there's one going to be standing there soon. If we've just had a victory, he'll be coming back. There'll be another one coming back. Oh, God, I've had some brothers. And Lord, I pray now this very morning that we'd take these truths and I pray deeply etch them. Deeply sear these truths in our minds. I pray for mighty men today. How we need men that will exceed the status quo. Not just marking time. Not just doing what's expected. But go beyond the norm. Those that will expect the supernatural. Count on God to intervene. Count on God to move in. We pray, God, that you'd raise up men who will experience success and have stories to tell the generation following what God had done for them. Lord, David had many good stories to leave behind to his sons. Lord, the leaders of old had many good proofs to go back and prove to a generation following what God had done. Lord, let us as 21st century saints have some proofs of today for the church of tomorrow. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God help us.